Hey crew, in today's podcast, I share some thoughts and reflections around entrepreneurship as a creative practice. And those of you who have met my husband, Rob, may be aware that he has the word create tattooed on the inside of his wrist. He also has another tattoo that says never apologize for your art. So this concept of business building as artistic endeavor is pretty woven into our family's philosophy of what we're doing when we are doing entrepreneurship. I have also recently finished producing, writing, performing in a pretty big circus show. And so I am kind of in the weeds of thinking about creativity and, again, what it is that helps us bring our creativity forward, why it's important, especially for our mental health, and the overlap between more traditionally understood creative practice and entrepreneurship. So anyway, if you are a creative soul, and I know many of you are, musicians, artists, woodworkers, have creative endeavors outside of your business, I hope that the thoughts about integrating the frameworks of creativity and entrepreneurship are interesting to you. Thanks so much for listening and joining me on the podcast today.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means, sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hey there. My name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I am a clinical psychologist who specializes in the well-being and thriving of entrepreneurs and their families. And I'm coming to you today fresh from creating a circus show. My team and I created our third show. This show was called Familia and integrated a narrative that I wrote with a variety of circus acts, involved 25 performers. We had three almost or completely sold out shows, and almost 600 people attended the performances. So it was amazing, and it was a big lift, and I'm a few days out and I'm still sleeping a lot. I'm like very tired because making things takes a lot out of you. And I've been thinking a lot about this, just sort of in observing myself, I've been thinking a lot about this process of making things and really reflecting on how similar the creative process is to the entrepreneurial process. And maybe you all are already aware of that. Maybe you already have connected the dots between business building and entrepreneurship as a creative act and maybe other creative activities that you've been involved with. When I think about the term creative acts, I think about anything that you are, you know, making into the void. So that can be, of course, physical art, performance art, music, things that people make with their hands, woodworking, pottery, certainly even some kinds of like cooking are creative acts. And I think by definition, entrepreneurship is also a creative act. Entrepreneurs are creating something. They're speaking something into the void. They see something that's missing. They see a way to solve a problem. They see a product that could benefit the market. They have a new idea about how to deliver something. They create a new process. There's something that gets sparked that is an answer to an empty line. There's something that could be done better or could be more complete. And an entrepreneur has an idea about how to bring that into being and gets busy with the work of creating it. And so I really respect and revere entrepreneurs as artists in a way, or not maybe even in a way, maybe doesn't need the specifier, as artists who are crafting something that meets their audience, meets their customers. And so first of all, I just want to really establish this respect for entrepreneurship as a creative practice. And along with the creative practice comes a whole psychological set of experiences that many artists know well, but I think entrepreneurs are sometimes surprised by. One of the things that is another overlap between entrepreneurs and artists is that the quality of entrepreneurship is really based on someone's mastery of a set of skills and their experience and their capacity for innovation and their taste. And I think that entrepreneurship, like creative arts, require such mastery over some kind of set of skills, whether that's copywriting or coding or product development or understanding business process. Whatever that skill is, there has to be some level of mastery, some ability to know it so well inside and out that you can then break the rules. I think real innovation happens after mastery. First, we have to have the skills, and then we get to decide whether or not we're going to use them or how we're going to modify them. And that, I think, is really true in creative practices, in this making of this circus show. You know, circus is a very athletic endeavor, but it's also very artistic. It's like modern dance. There's a way in which people are using their bodies to tell stories and create emotional experiences. And true elegance, true mastery of that emotional evoking power or evocative power happens when an artist is so good at the apparatus that they're using or the skill that they're doing that it feels seamless. And it's in the seamlessness that the emotion is created. And I think, again, that's really true in business as well. When the mechanics are clunky, when the writing is bad, when the process, the onboarding process or the customer service process is distracting, customers lose that experience of fluidity. They lose the experience of being carried along in a process to feel something, to be part of something, to join something, to buy something. The same is very much true in creative arts. You have to have the skill and the ability to make it seamless so that your audience forgets that it's an audience and that it becomes a participant. And there's no way to that kind of magic except to be really good at it and to know when to innovate, and also to have the kind of taste that really matches your audience, helps your, I guess, has a lot of empathy for your audience. I think sometimes creators get so in the weeds of their innovative ideas that they forget about the audience, and so they don't have empathy for the audience. They do something that's too complicated for the audience to follow, or like so far pushing the boundaries of what's expected that the audience is confused. And that, of course, does nobody any favors. It just becomes a sort of show-off fest of like, look how innovative I can be. But you lose the connection to the audience. And so having this taste, this empathy, and this ability to use your skills in such a way that is truly interactive is artistic mastery and also a lot of entrepreneurial mastery. All of these things at their core, of course, are very relational. Entrepreneurs can't make things if they don't have customers and if they don't have a way to interact with their customers or draw their customers in, bring their customers along. And so the relational aspect of business, I think, is again something that can be a little bit forgotten in the craftsperson framing of business. If you're just worried about making the thing or forming the product or writing the copy, you're not really thinking about the relational nature of what you're doing and how necessary it is for your audience to connect to you and for them to be curious or impacted or have some kind of emotional reaction to what it is that you're presenting to them. Of course, the same is true of art. Like I was just saying, if we lose our audience in the artistic process, then they don't feel anything and they're just watching a thing or looking at a thing but having no connection or reaction to the thing. So the relational nature of these practices is really important. And it feels so amazing when you nail it, right? When you launch a new feature, you launch a product, and the response is just over the top. People are so excited that you finally offered this thing or finally fixed this thing or finally made available something that they need and want. Similarly, in a creative practice, the first time that my team and I, in our very first circus show, we received a standing ovation, and there was something really magical about all of the performers standing in front of the audience and the audience standing back facing us. And all of us, this broad swath collection of humans, are just beholding each other, looking at each other. Like, I see the thing that you did and I honor it. And then the performers are just saying, like, I see that you see me and I thank you for it. You know, there's this really important interaction that happens when the relationship or the relational nature of these things locks in, and we really see each other and we receive each other. And I just think it's the best like thing in the world to be able to create something that's useful and emotionally relevant, and then have that feedback loop of the audience or the customers really, really receiving it. Entrepreneurship, like creativity, is very vulnerable. I think we like to tell ourselves that we can hide kind of behind our ideas and make it a very cognitive, practical process. But there's no doubt that when you are making something, you are bringing yourself forward, and you are basically saying, here I am. Here's the idea that I have. Will you try it? Will you be a customer? Will you come to my show? You know, there's this sense in which your gifts are on display, your skills are on display, and there's nowhere to hide. When I'm on the stage, just me under the spotlight on a trapeze, there's nowhere to hide. And every look away or every strange bend of my knee, every motion of my body is visible. And that's tough. It's very, very brave to make things in public, anything. And certainly the amount of work and thought and intention that goes into making a business, and the amount of heart and soul and thought and distraction and obsession and whatever it is for you, there's so much of yourself in your business. And that's vulnerable. It's very brave to be able to do it that way. In one of the performances that I just did, I was having a lot of trouble sort of figuring out my wardrobe, because I had a trick where I was rolling forward over the trapeze on my hips, and anything that I wore, the fabric of my clothing was getting wrapped in the bar. So then I decided to try to wear jeans, which are, you know, the fabric is durable enough to not get wrapped. But then I did another trick where I rolled the other way across the bar. And in one of the performances, the button of my jeans just like tore off when I did that roll. And so it goes flying off in the middle of the theater. And I then spent the rest of the performance with unbuttoned jeans. And not all I was thinking about, I was very aware of like, I cannot lose my pants. Like, I need to keep my jeans on. So talk about vulnerability. It's a little like, okay, this is happening. It's happening in front of everyone. Everyone is seeing it. Here we go. And it's also fine. There's no way to have absolute perfection. There's just the call to do your very best at putting together the best product or the best program that you can. And then I guess having a sense of humor about some of the other things that are going to happen. Anything that we create in the world is an extension of us. And so our mental health, our way of seeing ourselves, our capacity for self-compassion, our capacity for humor, our capacity to push ourselves and encourage ourselves to keep going is absolutely essential, of course, in entrepreneurship and, of course, in anything creative. They are absolutely psychological processes where our self-criticism can destroy the process, and our perfectionism can destroy the process. And so our ability to really hone in on what's most important, what's most essential, to push ourselves in that direction, and then to let a lot of other things go because they just can't be included, or there's not capacity to make everything perfect. So this dance, of course, between ship it, it's good enough, and perfection, it can always be better, is an essential part of both creative process and entrepreneurship. You know, ultimately, these things that we make are the mark that we leave. They are the things that we are offering to the world around us. They are the ideas, the perspectives, the innovation, the feelings, the words that come from inside of us to be offered to the community around us. And I hope that entrepreneurs really do see themselves as creators, because I think we have some allowance for the ups and downs, the kind of creative genius madness in our culture. We understand that artists are going to be a little bit chaotic. We understand that there's an emotional roller coaster to that. Sometimes I think we expect our entrepreneurs to be like buttoned up business people all the time. And in that, we fail to recognize how much of themselves is going into the process and how much like birthing entrepreneurship is, creation is. It's messy. It's time consuming. It doesn't usually go as planned. There's a lot of sort of fuck around and figure it out that happens in the process of making something. When Rob was a new entrepreneur, my husband Rob, he got his first tattoo, and his first tattoo was the word create tattooed on the inside of his wrist. And at that time, I was a little like head scratchy, like, yeah, you play guitar and stuff, but you're a business person, not a creator, which is, of course, like so mean and shallow of me. I was much younger then. But this idea of like, this is the container that you belong in. Why are you getting a tattoo from the other container, like the container of artists? And I really recognize how wrong I was in not seeing at that time how much creative nature goes into business building. And so, sorry, Rob, I was wrong. I understand now. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think all of us just want to make things that we're proud of, whether that's a show or a record or a business or some children. We just want to make things that feel like an accurate reflection of what's inside of us that wants to come out. So for all of you out there on the journey of creating things, whatever it is, just want to send you some encouragement for the adventure that you're on. If you have any curiosity about circus arts as a creative practice, you can check out my work at touchingtwoworlds.com. And if you have more interest in mental health and entrepreneurship, zenfounder.com. We also have a newsletter that is, I think, a really good resource for people who are interested in some really accessible, bite-sized practices that can help ease the journey of creation. And you're welcome to sign up for that at zenfounder.com. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.